So let's open with prayer, the best way to begin any endeavor. Lord, we thank you for this day and that we are here to learn about your word. And I'm a little scattered. I don't know about the other ladies if they're feeling scattered too. But Lord, please pull us together. Thank you for our scripture today that says you hold all things together. So Lord, I just pray that you would be here, be our teacher. Because without you, we can't learn anything in your word. You teach it, and you wrote it, and we want to learn it. So help us today. Amen. Jody, I think we might need to crank this down a little bit. Okay, so last week you had the devotional method, and I'm Angie Wiggins, in case you don't know. And this week we're doing the precepts overview method. We actually pulled a lot of our study out of these two different books. Rick Warren's Bible Study Methods, and the new How to Study Your Bible by Kay Arthur. We're kind of following his plan, but we're deviating every once in a while over to this. And today we're in this technique, the new How to Study Your Bible. This is the precepts, and that's where all your leaders are going to be next Friday, is taking this training in Thousand Oaks. So I've included in your packet, it was already in your binder, Rick Warren's method, his worksheets. But we will not be doing those today. We'll be doing these. So, just want to remind you of our key verse. It's found in Colossians, and it's right there. Jesus is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. Colossians 1:28. A.W. Tozer, you heard me quote him when I did my announcement on Sunday morning. I love him. This is what he had to say on great saints or great people of the faith. I venture to suggest that the one vital quality which they had in common was spiritual receptivity, something which urged them Godward. They had spiritual awareness and they went on to cultivate it until it became the biggest thing in their lives. They differed from the average person in that when they felt the inward longing, they did something about it. They acquired the lifelong habit of spiritual response. Our part, surrender to the Spirit of God. If we cooperate with Him in loving obedience, God will manifest Himself to us, and that manifestation will be the difference between a nominal Christian life and a life radiant with the light of His face. This Bible study is teaching us to do something about our inward longing for God. It's giving us the tools to get to know our God better. And today we will be learning the Precepts Overview Method. Precepts Ministry, you can go online and look them up if you want. They want to motivate each believer to study the Bible for herself, inductively, which means using the Bible as her primary source and other works as secondary. That is why we have requested for this study that you do not consult commentaries or read the Bible study helps in your Bible at this time. I'm not saying to totally ignore commentaries, which are the lifelong studies of dedicated and godly men and women, but to just consult them after we study the text for ourselves. Please allow the Holy Spirit to be your first teacher. Commentaries are written by imperfect human beings, and you will find that sometimes they don't agree with each other. My favorite kind of commentary is when they say all the opinions that are out there and then explain why the different people think that. I don't like a commentary that says, this is the way it is. I like to know all the different opinions. And Jody's going to be introducing commentaries way at the end of our study. So we'll get into that later. True. Commentaries are written by imperfect human beings, and you will find that they sometimes don't agree with one another. God's word, however, is perfect. True, it's easier to sit down and read what someone else has written about God's word, but you end up with secondhand knowledge. So let's do the study for ourselves. If you've ever had someone tell you about a book they've just read or a movie they've gone to, they can tell you all about it, but until you go and read the book yourself or see the movie yourself, you really don't experience it fully. I'm kind of a bookish person, and I thought, I can just read about stuff and then I'll know, right? Well, I planned this trip for my family to Europe, and planning it on paper and actually going there and walking the streets and seeing the things, two totally different things. And that's what we're doing with this Bible study. We're opening it ourselves. It's not bad to hear a sermon or a guy on the radio or read another book that someone's written about the Bible, but it's different when you dig in there for yourself. You see it differently. You learn differently. So it's very important. And our goal in this is not to be really good at Bible trivia so that we can win a game when we play it. Our goal is to become more like Christ. It's possible to know the Word of God and not know the God of the Word. All of this study is valueless if we don't change and become more like Jesus in our attitudes, our thoughts, our speech, our actions, and our values. You will find that the real problem for most of us is not with interpreting difficult passages, but with obeying the passages we do understand. Learning the inductive Bible study method is only the beginning. You need to go deeper with others by studying the whole counsel of God, and then in obedience to your Lord, disciple others, call them on his behalf to deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow Jesus as a way of life. That's why we had Joe Stone come and speak to you about personal evangelism at our first meeting. We're not doing this study so that you can fill yourself up with a knowledge that puffs up. We're doing this study because the Bible tells it. The Bible tells us everything we need to know about life. We're doing this study so that you can learn to feed yourself from the Word of God. And it was Brenda in prayer time the other day. I'm going to embarrass her. She said, we're learning to feed ourselves, and then we fill up a plate and take it to someone else. I love that visual picture. We're feeding ourselves and then taking a plate and giving it to someone else. So we discover what it says, and then we apply it to our life, and then we go on to tell others of the hope that's in us. That's Jesus. Wait till we get into Colossians. It paints the most beautiful picture of Jesus. We want to love the Word and then pass it on. Remember, I love what Jo said. She said, we just need to stay one step ahead of those we're discipling. To do that, you need to be in the Word daily. So the first step in Bible study is what?
Pray.
If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you have a teacher. I can't come to your home and help you with your devotions every day, but you have a teacher with you. His name is the Holy Spirit, and he lives inside of you. Talk to him. Ask him to help you understand what you're about to read and study. Pray. Ask for God's protection as you study his word. We have an enemy. His name is Satan, and he does not want you to know or understand God's truth, because he knows that is what sets you free. He will tell you that Bible study is just too hard for you. You'll never get this. It's useless to try. He'll put obstacles to keep you from your private quiet time, obstacles to keep you from getting here to Bible study. Notice how the kids are more fussy on Fridays. You know, you tend to get sick on Friday mornings. These things happen for a reason. Satan doesn't want you here learning his word. Don't listen to God's word, not Satan's word. Whew. Don't listen to his lies. Instead, and this is right out of our scripture we're going to be studying, ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Do you remember last year in January, I had you fill out goal sheets, and then I mailed them, if you were here, I prayed over those all year long. This is the scripture I prayed for you all year long. And then you got those around, it was after Christmas time. And so praying scripture, I know Pat talked about this last week, is powerful stuff. So pray that scripture. All right, first thing we want to do is get the context. We are beginning with an overview, a book summary method, because we want to understand the context. We want to establish that. This will be the bird's eye view of the book of Colossians. Later, we'll do a chapter summary and analysis to discover the details and a book synthesis to put it all together. And the teachers in between, then and now, will be going over things like character study, topical studies, theme. So we'll be slowing down. Today, I already gave this to the Wednesday night. I am going to be spraying a fire hose, and you're all going to be going, whoa! But I have to do that today, because I can't be there every day with you walking through this. So I'm going to throw it out there. It might be overwhelming today, but stick with it. Okay, the rule of context is that context rules. What is context exactly? Context means that which goes with the text. We always check for context because we do not want to pluck scripture out of its context and make it say something that it doesn't mean. We can find the context by looking for what is repeated in the text. Remember our three steps of inductive Bible study? I gave you a sheet a couple of weeks ago. What are they? Number one, observation. Number two, interpretation. And number three, application. So we're looking for what does the text say? We're looking for what does the text mean? And this is not what it means to you. This is what it means, period. There's one meaning, but there's many different ways of applying it in your life. And then how does the meaning apply to me? And I want you to be aware, application is not necessarily step three. It takes place as truth confronts you. Bible study is dangerous because once you read it, now you're accountable to live it. Okay? Because God said it, we should be doing it. Okay? So when, as we're studying, you learn the truth, application begins immediately. Today we're going to be focusing on observation. Pat's study last week was a lot of application. As you read and devotionally read, what is this going to do to change my life? In observation, we establish the context. Context will always rule interpretation. We want to deal with the text objectively. Now, I'm a word nerd, and I look things up in the dictionary. I always hear the word objectively. I'm like, what does that mean exactly? So I looked it up. Objective means dealing with facts or conditions as perceived without distortion by your personal feelings, your prejudices, or your interpretations. Okay, so we're going to look at what it says. Subjective, which women tend to go a lot on the subjective, means modified or affected by one's personal views, experience, or background. Now, how we feel about the text and relate to the text are important, yes, but we want to deal with it objectively first. Much of the Christian life is about finding this kind of balance. Yes, you want to read God's word devotionally, looking to hear what God's saying to you. Yes, but in Bible study, we also want to look at the text objectively to discover the context. Let the text speak for itself. All right, observation. What does the text say? Step one, after prayer, is we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Get a good translation. Okay, remember the chart I showed you? It was up on the screen. We have some more in the back if you want to take one home. For Bible study, you want a translation of the Bible, like the New American Standard, the NIV, not a paraphrase, like the Message or the Living Bible. It might shock you to know that the King James Version is not the best translation. I read this book, How to Read the Bible, for all it's worth, Pastor Andy recommended it to me, by Gordon Fee and Douglas Stewart. They go as far to say, as the King James Version is no longer a living language. We don't talk in these and thous anymore, and we don't add thus on to liveth, loveth. We don't do that anymore. So this is why we study from a modern translation other than the King James or the New King James. Now, you will find that the King James has been around for a long time. So a lot of those concordances I asked you to bring are keyed off of the King James. So learning a concordance is hugely important because a lot of the other helps all stem from the concordance. And that's why I'll be teaching 2 weeks from today the concordance, how to use it. I've also found the Inductive Study Bible that Kay Arthur puts out very helpful. I got this for Christmas. I actually got her first one back in the 90s and worked my way through it. It was huge. But she has streamlined it, and it gives you all these instructions I'm going to be sharing with you today are in this Bible. This is the new Inductive Study Bible. Very helpful. They have wide margins, and I think on one of, yes, you have observation sheets in your binder. You'll see that you're the one. Most Bibles fill in this top, tells you what it's about. You're going to read the chapter, and then you're going to write your own chapter titles. I'm going to show you that today, but this Bible has it all set out for you to do. So if you're wanting to buy a new Bible, that's a good one for this kind of study. Fee and Stewart are also very thorough in showing you that the Bible contains different kinds of literature. Each chapter of their book teaches you how to read the different kinds of literature in the Bible, which leads us to step two. We have to identify the type of literature. There are many types of literature in the Bible: historical, biographical, poetic, proverbial, prophetic, epistles, and combinations. We study the different kinds of literature in different ways. Colossians is actually an epistle. It's a letter written to a church. So we would handle it differently than a historical book like Genesis or a book of poetry like the Psalms. Okay, step three. For this observation, for this overview, you want to read through the whole book of Colossians. Many people spend all their time reading about the Bible rather than reading Scripture itself. Read and reread Colossians. Every good Bible teacher, including our own Pastor Andy, says the key to learning the Word of God is repetition. So just read it. Read it in different translations. Read it in a paraphrase. Read a clean copy so you don't concentrate on your previous notes. Read without stopping. Read it aloud if you have to. Have your children read it to you if you need to. Read it as a family. Get a CD with someone reading it aloud. Listen to it in your car or while you do your housework. After your first or second reading, read with a pen in hand. Jot down in your spiritual journal your thoughts and first impressions, questions you may have, verses that pop out. Look for truth. We want to know the truth. Slow down. Slow down and really look at what the scripture says. I knew a person that, I love books. So speed reading to me is criminal. I once knew a person, he'd go like this, and I'd be like, please, please, just stop. Don't skim when you're reading the Word of God. Slow down. If one verse is all you can handle per day, that's good. People always ask me where I get the stuff that I speak on. I've been speaking to women for probably 4 or 5 years. And usually, it's right there in front of our very eyes, and we just haven't taken the time to see it or to connect it with other scriptures in the cross-references. And usually some great teacher will point that out to me, and I'll just bring that great idea and share it with whoever I'm speaking to, and they'll go, wow, where'd you get that? And I'm like, it's right in the Word of God. It's right in front of us, and half the time we don't even see it. So Bible reading and Bible study are not the same thing. A quiet time and Bible study are not the same thing. Bible reading and quiet time are a necessary first step. But then we need to take the next step. We're now about to enter the realm of Bible study. Step four, ask the right questions. Read with purpose. Interrogate the text. Interview it. Be systematic. Now as you read through the third or fourth time, begin marking the text. I have placed a marking sample in your notebooks. You can use this as a guideline, or you can develop your own marking sample. Let's take a minute to look at that. That's the color page. And my printer in the office is it must be a girl, because it prints in different colors. You know, it gets in a mood. So some of you might not have the same colors on your sheets as the original. But those are some samples of the way you can mark. And we're going to mark here in a few minutes. I'm going to put an overhead up, and we're going to mark together. We're going to learn what to look for in the text and how to mark. But here's where the challenging part of this method comes in. And I was, you know, I like words, so I was searching for a word. You might think this method is perhaps a little fastidious or overly meticulous, maybe too academic. But stick with it and follow through. You will then see how marking the text reveals the themes and the topics and what the author is trying to say if you'll stick with this method. But this is your study. We want you to enjoy it. Don't stress out. So don't let all the colors and the marking distract you from the Word of God. The text is the important thing. It's not important that you mark perfectly. All you type A's. You're going to have to relax. You don't have to do this perfect. Do what works for you. Figure out what works, and then be consistent with what works for you. Okay? We'll be looking for the 5 W's and the H. What are the 5 W's? Okay. Who, what, where, when, why, and the H is how of the scripture we're going to be reading. Caution, you might not find all of them in every single verse of the Bible. Many times scripture is misinterpreted simply because the 5 W's and the H are not carefully observed. So the first thing we'll do is observe the obvious. We'll be looking for people and events. We'll be looking for the names of the author and the recipients and the other people mentioned in Scripture. We can mark the pronouns I, me, my, us, we for these folks as well. Marking every pronoun is a matter of personal preference. I personally find marking all the yous to be helpful because then I feel like the author is talking to me. If I keep underlining you, 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 I feel like he's talking to me. So we're going to ask the text these kind of questions. Who's the author? Who are the recipients? What does he tell you about himself? What are his circumstances? What's happening? Where is he? Why is he there? When is this letter written? Why did he write the letter? What was his purpose? How does this scripture change my life? What can I apply from this scripture? What are some new things I learned? When we start looking for the answers to these questions, we will discover the writer's purpose and theme. We also begin to see the structure and content of the book of Colossians. We are trying to find the writer's purpose, to outline the book. That's what this bird's eye view is all about. So as you read and reread the text, you'll begin to notice that there are certain key words, subjects, or ideas that the author will repeat. Look for these repetitions and start marking them. Maybe you can see what appears to be a key verse. Mark it. Do you see a theme developing? Jot down your ideas on the book's theme or summary statement. Step 5. Write down your observations. This is the difference between Bible reading and Bible study. Thoughts disentangle themselves when they pass through the lips and the fingertips. If you haven't put your observations down on paper, you haven't really thought them out. Talk about them with a friend, too. If you're talking to your husband and you just really want to talk it out and he wants to fix it, and you're like, no, just listen. Because when you verbalize it, it comes out your tongue and you start tripping, and then suddenly you realize what you want to say and what you were trying to express, and it comes out if you can just verbalize it. So Pastor Doug always teaches the men at the marriage conferences, honey, how can I help you? So say, honey, just listen. I am a journaler. I am a journaler. So I write it down because if I read it or I hear it spoken in church on Sunday morning, if I don't write it down, I forget it. If I see it in my own handwriting, there's different kinds of learners. In this room, there's visual learners. That's me. That's why I write it down. I hear it, I write it down, I remember it that way. There's auditory learners. Some of you can hear it one time and you have got it. Then there's kinesthetic learners who have to do something with it, manipulate it physically somehow. So figure out what kind of learner you are and learn in that way so that you'll remember. Okay, so you're writing it down, you're talking about it with your friends. You should have all these sheets. I'm going to go over them in just a minute in your binder. But let's jump to step 6, obedience. I've said that application begins immediately, even though we're in the observation phase, the overview of our study. Each time you study, take a moment to apply what you've learned that day in your life. We're striving to know Christ and to become like him. For success in Bible study, prepare. Be systematic. Start to collect and become familiar with the right tools. Here's some tools that will help you. A good study Bible, several translations. You don't have to run out and get them right away. A lot of us have several translations already. You can even get a Bible that has all the four translations in it at once. On your table, you were supposed to, if you had them, bring colored pens or pencils today, but I brought some on your table that you guys can share if you didn't bring some. That's what we need for this particular method. Then I mentioned a concordance. We're going to start to learn that. Concordances are now online. They are so amazing. When you have a book, you have to open it, you have to look up your word, then you have to go over to your Bible and look it up. Online, you can type in, the word mystery is in Colossians. Uh-oh, I just gave it away. And you could type in the word mystery into BibleGateway.com, and bam, every verse in the Bible with the word mystery in it is listed for you. If you're remembering part of a verse, like I remember something and you remember one word, you can type that in and bam, all the verses that have that phrase in it are before you and you can find what you were looking for. So I'm hoping this computer is not online. I'm hoping maybe we can get us online and we can show you later on in the study how to work that. Because that's probably, Jody, would you agree? That online concordance is one of the best tools. Okay, Bible dictionary, a topical Bible. Billy Graham says next to his regular Bible, his topical Bible is his favorite tool. A topical Bible doesn't have every scripture in it. What it does is it lists topics and then it gives you scriptures that cover that topic, which is nice because sometimes the scripture won't even have the word, like the word perseverance. It might not even have the word perseverance in it, but that scripture is about perseverance. So it's a very handy tool. But I'm the kind of person that gets frustrated with a topical Bible because I'll go looking for a specific verse in there and it doesn't have every verse in there. That's what you need, a strong, exhaustive. You saw the word exhaustive on there? It's not that it makes you exhausted looking at it. It's exhausted it because it has every single reference in the Bible in it. Bible handbooks, word studies. Amy's going to be getting into word studies with you later on. And I already showed you our helpful reading. So now, we're going to get organized so that we can mark the text together. So, your color copy of the marking, can you pull that out of your binder and set it somewhere where you can see it? You're going to need your observation worksheets. Your Colossians observation worksheet. They look something like this. Okay. The other thing, you should have three worksheets. One says a people, it's a people in Colossians worksheet, keywords, warnings, instructions worksheet, and the Lord Jesus Christ as portrayed in Colossians worksheet. There's also an at-a-glance chart. You can leave that in there. There's a photocopy about what inductive Bible study is. And there's Rick Warren's book survey sheets are in there just for your enjoyment. You need people in Colossians. On the back of it, I think, is keywords, warnings, and instructions. And then on a separate sheet is the Lord Jesus Christ as portrayed in Colossians. Okay, so have your worksheets where you can reach them, but set them aside. Have your color-coded chart where you can see it, but set it aside, and put your observation worksheets right in front of you in a stack with Colossians 1 on the top. Okay. Have your colored pens, pencils, whatever you've got, out and ready to use. So you can open those packages. And let's get ready. Yes. Observation worksheet, Colossians 1, on the top. Just like this. Just like this. Lay that out in front of you, the marking guide out in front of you so you can see it. And then put your other worksheets to the side for now. Okay? All right. Before we jump into this, you have a list there. I want you to take your regular pen in my notes there, and number one, put the word day to the side of it. Day one.
Notes of what? What notes?
These notes that you were reading from. You were reading from the notes. You were following along with me.
End of lesson two.
It says practice. Yeah, lesson two notes. It says practice. And then it has a numbered list. One is mark all references to the author.
Oh, gotcha.
Gotcha?
Yeah.
I didn't put page number, sorry. That's day, let's put day one, because this was confusing to the night group, so I'm hoping to make it a little more clear. Number two is day two. Number three is day three. Okay, we're under the notes on the practice page. It says practice in big letters. It says arrange handouts. We're going to pray in a minute here. Number one, mark all references to the author. That's day one, okay? Day two, mark all references to the recipients. Number three is going to be day three. Mark all references to Christ and God. Day four. Okay, mark any warnings, commands, or instructions. So, I want you to get that in your mind because, like I said, I'm going to have to do a fire hose technique. We're going to have to do all the days in the same day today while we do this. And it's going to confuse you a little bit. But you are not going to do all of these things on the same day. Okay, the first thing we're going to do is look for the author. You will have, hopefully, you've already read Colossians a couple of times, devotionally. Hopefully you've read it already and you're a little familiar with the book. So the homework this week, which is on the next page, the homework is going to be what we're going to do right now. Whatever we don't get done, you're going to finish. So on day one, you would start looking for the author. Okay, so I like to mark my author with a blue pen. You can do it however you want. Remember, we're not being type A today. We're just relaxing. I can't even find my blue pen, see? Oh, here it is. Okay. So, we've got our observation worksheet. Pick a color for the author. Okay? I'm going to make myself my own personal key up here at the top. For the author, I'm going to do a blue circle. For the recipients, I'm going to underline. I'm also going to, I know that there's some other people mentioned in here. I'm going to circle them too. This is just my way. So pick your way and you can stick with it. I actually changed what I'm going to do after doing Wednesday night. I got some tips. You know, that's what we're here for. And I want this class to be interactive. If you have a question, ask me, okay? Oh. Opposite.
Should the recipient be in a different color?
No, keep the people in the same color, just mark them differently. Unless you want to. That's totally up to you. It's up to you. Okay, so we start with reading it. So I gave the microphone to Karen. Would you, Karen, read a couple verses and then pass the microphone on?
Sure.
Let's turn it on. Okay. Yeah, okay. Karen's going to read the scripture.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ throughout Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father.
Okay, Jody?
We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you just as in all the world. Also, it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth.
Just as you learned from Epaphras and beloved fellow bondservant, who is faithful servant of Christ on our behalf, and he also informed us of your love in the Spirit.
For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased praying for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding,
so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God.
Okay. All right. Keep that page up there. They didn't explain how we're supposed to know this, but a letter of baptism starts with the author. So can you pass the microphone to the next person? So in the first verse, Teresa, who's the author of Colossians? That's okay. She can walk in. Yes, thank you. Paul. Okay, so we'll circle Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and who else is writing?
Timothy.
Okay, you can pass the microphone on. I told you everyone's going to get a chance to speak into that baby.
No.
Okay,
table.
Right, keep it at your table.
Sorry.
Okay, so now, all right, normally you would now just go through day one and look for all references to Paul, okay? And that would be Paul, the word, or I, me, my, we, okay? That's what you would mark on the first day. Read through the whole book and look for that. But because we don't have that luxury today, we're going to move on to looking for the recipients. So, Brandy, who are the recipients? It says in verse 2:2.
Saints and faithful brethren.
To the saints and faithful brethren. And where are they at? Colossae. Okay, we're going to mark that in a different way in a few minutes. We're looking for the two. All right, so now let's read through this whole page. We're going to circle any I, me, my's, and we're going to underline any references to the saints in Colossae, or the you's. Okay, so Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ for the will of God, and Timothy, that's actually a circle, our brother. To the saints and faithful brethren, we underline, in Christ, who are at Colossae, grace to you. So what do we do with that? Underline you. And peace from God, our circle, Father. We, who's that? Is that Paul and Timothy? So circle, give thanks to God the Father of our, we could either circle or underline, but circle because he's saying it. Praying always for you, underline. Since we, circle, heard of your, underline, faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you, underline, have for all the saints. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Saints? Yeah, you could underline saints. But it's kind of more generic, the saints. But if you want to underline it, that's fine. Of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come, verse 6, which has come to you, just as in all the world, also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even it has been doing in you, also since the day you heard of it, and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you, okay, are you getting the idea here? Okay, I think we're going to move on. So your homework would be now to go through all of Colossians day one, look for references to Paul, Timothy, I, me, mine. Second day, look for all the you's. And it'll start to feel like it's talking to you when you underline the you's. Now, you don't have to mark every single one. That first inductive study Bible I marked very lightly. I did the second one and did all the markings just to feel the difference. Because what can happen is people have been exposed to this method before and they go, this is just too much. The coloring thing is stressing out. We don't want to stress you out. Make your own system. Stick with it. If you don't want to mark every you, don't. If you don't want to mark every pronoun, don't. Okay, but we're just doing it to try it right now. Okay, so that's day one and day two. Day three, we're going to mark all references to Christ and God. And as we do this, you're going to find that Christ is a key word in this book of Colossians. So, I'm going to do every reference to God, and I'm going to go back up to my key here, if I can bring it to the right way. I'm going to make it my key. I'm going to do a purple for royalty, triangle for God. I'm going to do a purple cross for Jesus. And I'm going to do the Holy Spirit as a cloud. Once again, you can make up your own, whatever is good for you. I'm going to stick with purple, even though in my old Bible I would do Jesus in red. But this will make it easier for the purpose of class. Okay, so our second step, we're going to look for God. We've looked for the author, we've looked for the recipients, and now we're going to look for God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in the Scripture. Okay, so, see, Paul, an apostle of who? Jesus. So we put a cross on there. By the will of who? God. So there's a triangle. And Timothy, our brother, to the saints and fellow brethren in who? Christ. So we put a cross. For our Colossae, grace to you and peace from who? God the Father. Yeah, I'm going to do Father too. We give thanks to who? God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Underline Christ, cross, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in who? Christ Jesus. You're starting to see a theme developing here? And the love which you have for all the saints. Verse 5. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, which you previously heard in the truth, word of truth, the gospel. Some of your homework is going to be to look for keywords we're not going to cover today. Just heads up, gospel is a keyword. Which has come to you, verse 6, just as in all the world, also it constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it, and understood the grace of who? God. Triangle. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of who? Christ. And he also informed us of your love in the, Spirit. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you, to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His, whose will? They're all three in one, so you really can't mark it wrong. His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm going to mark it God. If you want to mark it Jesus, that's up to you. To please Him. There's a pronoun, capitalized, that if it's capitalized, it's God. It's not always capitalized, but in Colossians it happens to be. In all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of who? God. Okay, we're going to keep looking for Jesus in the next page, because He is all over it. This scripture is the most beautiful scripture. Okay, so we're looking for Jesus. First, where's that microphone? Let's read it first. That's what we always do. I forgot to pray! Oh, no! Okay, you forgot to pray. Let's stop and pray. Okay. Lord, thank you for being with us, even though we didn't ask you to be with us. You are walking, and we are following. And Lord, we just want you to open up the scripture. Teach us from your word. Show us who you are. Show us how to learn, Lord. A lot of us haven't even learned how to learn. And Lord, we need your teaching. We need you to instruct us and show us the way that we are to go. So please forgive me for skipping the most main vital step. And be with us now as we dig further into your word. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so let's read a couple verses. Start with
strengthened with power according to His glorious might for the attending of all steadfastness and patience joyously, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us as shared in the inheritance of the saints in His light.
Thank you. You want
me to? For He delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
And he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him.
And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything.
For it was the Father's good pleasure for all fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven.
And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he is now reconciled to you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach.
If indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made minister. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up that which is lacking in Christ's afflictions.
Okay, let's hold on right there. Okay, so we've read that without even marking it. What's this passage about? It's about Jesus. So let's go looking for him in here. Strengthened with all power according to whose glorious might? I think it's God or Jesus, which one, whoever one. Giving thanks to the Father. Now that one's obviously God, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he, who's this he? It's going to be God, because look at the rest of the sentence. He delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. We have to look at the context on that one. That is God and God, and then we have the Son with the cross. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And he, now who's this he? Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him, Jesus, all things were created, both in the heavens and the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created by Jesus and for Jesus. We all belong to Jesus, created for him. Okay, 17. And he... who's this? Jesus is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Praise God. He is also the head of the body. That would be Jesus. And he, Jesus, is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's, so we put a triangle, good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. Who's him? Jesus. And through him, who? Jesus. To reconcile all things to himself, Jesus. Having made peace through the blood of his, Jesus, cross through him. I say whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he, Jesus, has now reconciled you in his, Jesus, flesh, through death, in order to present you before him, could be God or Jesus, let's put both, blameless and beyond reproach, if indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast, not moved away from the hope of the gospel, oh, there's that word gospel again, that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and which I, Paul, you got your blue pen handy? Let's just go ahead and mark that. I, Paul, was made a minister. Okay, All right, we marked Jesus on that page. We're starting to see the theme forming here. No matter what he's talking about, Paul's talking about Jesus. There's also another word that repeats on that page. Did anybody else pick it up? What was that? I heard it.
Heaven's up.
Heaven's good.
All.
All. Let's go back and look for the all. Okay, it's in the very first line. Strengthened with how much power? All. Now, I chose orange in my Bible. I don't know. And I just did a circle and filled it in. That's what I did. That it's up to you how you want to mark this. The word all is very important in Colossians. Strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for the retaining of how much steadfastness? All steadfastness. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in life. For he delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Okay, verse 15. And he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And the first time I looked for these alls, I missed some, so catch me if I go by one. For by him, how many things were created? All things were created, both in the heavens and the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created by him and for him. And he is before how many things? All things. And in him, all things hold together. He is also the head of the body of the church, and he is the beginning, firstborn from the dead. Now, that brings me to something else. When I have a question about something, I mark it so that later on, when if you have a question about what you're reading, ask God what it means. And that is one prayer that he will always answer yes. It might be today. It might be the next day. It might be when Pastor Andy preaches his next sermon. He might give you the answer in a book. He might give you the answer on a radio preacher. It might be a year from now. You might have to go through something painful to learn what that scripture means. But God will be faithful. He will teach you what it means. For me, what does firstborn from the dead mean? I'm like, So I'm just going to mark that with a couple question marks. Okay. Did I skip anything? He's the head of the body, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. Does everything sound like all? Everything and all are kind of synonyms. So let's go ahead and mark everything like we're marking all. For it was verse 19, for it was the Father's good pleasure for how much the fullness? All the fullness to dwell in Christ, and through him to reconcile how many things? All things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated, hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet now he has reconciled you. Okay, are there any more alls? 23? Oh, all creation, the very end there. Okay, so you starting to see how these things pop out and what you can learn by the repeating words? Okay, your homework, you're going to continue looking for, so day one, you're going to look for the author, and then day two, the recipients. Okay, when you've done the author and the recipients, you've marked them in your Bible, now what do you do with them? Okay, you're going to take one of those sheets that I gave you, the people in Colossians, okay? You just get my pen scratching here. Remember, when you get it in your own handwriting, it becomes yours. So I just, as I was marking those things about Paul, I went looking for what I marked, and now I'm kind of summarizing it in people in Colossians. So if I had done this in the colored pens, I would write my notes in color, but I just wrote it in black, that's fine. So I took from the scripture that I marked, and I found, and when you make these kind of summaries, you want to use the Word of God. So that's what starts to be hidden in your heart. You can rewrite it in your own words for other things, but for the purpose of this exercise, try and pull your phrases from Scripture. So I found that Paul was an apostle of Jesus Christ and Timothy. And Paul's been giving thanks. He's been praying. He's heard of their faith and love. And then in 1:23, we just marked that, Paul says he's a minister of the gospel. He rejoices in suffering. He does his share. He proclaims Christ. He admonishes, teaches, labors for the purpose of them to present them complete in Christ. You can be as thorough as you want here, or just maybe put a couple of things to help you remember who Paul is. And then you do it for the second chapter, the third chapter. And notice, there's not very much in the second chapter and the third chapter about Paul. He mentions his struggle, and in the third chapter, he says Christ is his life. And in the fourth, he's closing out, kind of signing off, so there's more of his thoughts and feelings there. Then you draw a line, and you put what you learn about the recipients. They were faithful. They have faith and love. They heard the gospel from Epaphras. They were formerly alienated, but now reconciled. And Christ is in them. So that's just a sample of what you can do with that. Then you also have a chart. We went through and found out what we could about Jesus. I actually went to the back page and just kind of listed them. The page asks you certain questions about Jesus, but you can do it whatever way you want. I tend to do it the way that works for me. So I just made a list here of things about Jesus. 1:1 showed us he has apostles because they call themselves apostles. 1:3, Jesus is the Son of God. 1:7, it's talked about Jesus' servants. So I just took a note of that. Jesus can be pleased with the way we walk. He strengthens us with his might. And then, of course, as we get deeper in there, we saw all those amazing things about Jesus. If you're ever feeling down, and you've written this out like this, you can rip this out and go, this is my Savior, and read all that he is to you. Very encouraging. So you can complete that worksheet. That'll be part of your homework this week. But now we're going to move on. And I told you, this is the fire hose method. We'd be doing each one of these one day at a time. But we're going to move on to, I think we've got a little bit more of one to go, or two. No, this is one. Okay. The next thing we're going to look for, after we finish this up, is warnings, commands, and instructions. Because if God is telling us to do something, we want to do it. So, but let's finish out this first chapter. Yes, ma'am?
Always wondered about in reading scriptures, he and him, and when, how is it, you know, who are mean, although they're praying one, there is definitely an identity.
Right.
I see that.
And these are things that Christ did.
Yeah,
and they pop out
very clearly now in that, which is great.
Right.
Yeah. So you I think.
Yeah, marking this way makes you see things that you might tend to skim over.
Oh yeah.
You might think, oh, this is so much work. But how many of you would have noticed how many alls were in there unless we marked them? And I mean, we saw when we read it through the first time, we saw it was going to be about Jesus. But when we marked it, then all those beautiful things about Jesus just jump off the page.
And it's also, you can't just mark it as far as going through and reading the he's and the hymns, because you don't know how they apply, because that's what I was doing.
You have to look at context.
You have to read it. Which is, yeah.
Yeah. And you notice how many times we've already read it just doing this. I mean, we've read it through like 3-4 times already doing this method. So this is where we get the repetition. This is where we learn. That was the Pastor Andy walked in the office when I was working one day. I said, so what's your main key? He said, it's repetition. When we read it over and over and over, then it gets hidden in our heart and in our soul. So there's really no substitute for that. Okay, so let's quickly mark the last part of one. Okay. I have a brown pen for marking my questions. Okay, verse 24. Now I, you would circle that with your blue pen, I being Paul, rejoice in my, that would be Paul, sufferings for your, that would be underlined, and in my flesh, that would be Paul, and I do share my share on behalf of his body. Who's his? Jesus. Yes, Jesus' body. See, you wouldn't normally be juggling your pens like this. You'd be doing each one on a separate day, but which is the church, and filling up that which is lacking in Christ's afflictions. What does that mean? Okay, I'm going to underline that one, because Jesus did it all to him I owe. So what's lacking in Christ's afflictions? I don't know. Let's look for an answer. Okay. Of this church, I, who's I there? Paul, was made a minister according to the stewardship from God. Okay, I don't have my purple pen. I have my brown pen. Here's my purple pen. God bestowed on me, who's me? Paul. For your, that would be the Colossians, benefit that I, Paul, might fully carry out the preaching of the word of who? God. That is the mystery. Ooh, key word. Just a hint. The mystery which has been hidden from the past generations. What was that? Oh, okay. No question, just a sneeze. Okay, so I don't know how you want to mark the mystery, but I'm giving you a hint that that's a key word. I'm just going to circle it with my favorite color, which is dried out. Never mind. Okay. The mystery, which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but has now been made manifested to his saints. Whose saints? God's saints. Not Paul's saints. It's capitalized. To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. Let's mark that again. Among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Does he just define the mystery right there? What is the mystery?
Christ in you,
the hope of glory. Does that sound like it's really important?
Yes.
Okay. You figure out the way to make it most important to you. I'm going to highlight it bright green. Because that sound, he's defining the mystery right there. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay. And we proclaim him, who's him? Jesus. Okay, perfect. Admonishing every man and teaching every man. Now you understand that the Bible was written in. Anytime we pick up our Bible, we're reading a translation. It was written in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. So we're picking up a translation. And things don't always come over the same way. The languages are different. Hebrew has very little words. Greek has lots of words that mean different things than our language means, and sometimes it's hard to express exactly what it said in the Greek. So I believe that I read that it's not gender specific, but as English people, we have to pick a gender to put down here. We can't put every man, woman, and child. It would clutter up the text. So they choose men, they choose the word man here, but it's women too. So don't take offense that it says man. It's us too, okay? Every man, and teaching every man with all wisdom that we, oh, there's that word all again. Where's my orange pen? How much wisdom? All, that we may present every man complete in Christ. And for this, oops, Christ, I almost skipped that one. And for this purpose also, I labor, who's laboring? Paul, striving according to his power, whose power? Christ's power, which mightily works within me, that would be Paul. He works within us too. Otherwise, I couldn't be up here teaching. All right. Now, yes?
I'm sorry, is this power meaning the Spirit? Was there a power for the meaning?
It could be. His capitalized, we'd have to know the Greek. Right. See, that's the other thing. The Greek probably would say which person of the Trinity it is, but we just have to translate it as his.
And
so, yes?
In verse 28, would that every man and every man, both of those every,
shall make them all? Yeah, I like that. Good. Good spotting. Every man and every, teaching every man, admonishing every man. There's one more. Every man complete. Okay, so we've got, did we miss any alls up above? Okay. Good. Now, what we're going to look for in two, we're going to start looking for things Paul's telling them to do. Commands. And instructions and warnings. Okay, because we want to find out what he's telling the believers in Colossae. And we want to find out, we still haven't really discovered why Paul's writing yet, have we?
No.
No, we know he's talking about Christ and his theme is Christ. And he's all, he's everything. But we haven't really encountered why Paul's writing. So, who's got the microphone so we can read the scripture? Okay, Pat, will you start us out in chapter 2?
Yeah, read a few verses.
Read a couple verses, yeah.
For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf. And for those who are at Laodicea, and all of those who have not personally seeing my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself.
Okay, hold on just a minute. Okay, we're not going to mark this right now, but you see the eyes in there. You get a hint in verse 1 that maybe these people have not met Paul personally. That maybe Epaphras led them to the Lord, and he's never even seen them. So you might want to just note your margin, Paul's never met them. We'll look into that. And then there's that word, mystery, again. Are you marked mystery? Okay, let's keep reading.
In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with persuasive argument, for even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ.
As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude.
See to it that no one takes you
captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the word, rather than according to this.
For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form.
And in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. And in him you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ.
Okay, let's stay right there. Okay, even before we mark, who's this about again? Are you seeing Jesus again? Mark him in your homework. But there are some things in here that now tell us why Paul is writing. Can anyone pick it out? Okay, let's look at verse 4. It gives us a hint when Paul says, I say. I say this. Why is he saying this? Okay, so let's mark that. This is one of his purposes for writing. I say this in order that no one, and highlight it however you like. I like to highlight the bright yellow or green or something. Okay, here's his reason for writing. So we can say why he's writing out here. He's writing so that no one would delude them with persuasive arguments. Do we have those in our time? The world is trying to persuade us not to believe our God, not to believe that there's no absolutes, there's no absolute truth. You just kind of make it up as you go along. And they try to persuade us of that, and they are very persuasive. Okay, but he repeats this down later with a command. Let's go down to verse 8. What are we supposed to see to it? No one takes us captive. So here's a command. Don't let anyone take you captive through philosophy. I read philosophy last year. It was a hard read. They just eliminate God and give you absolutely nothing in return. And they say, this is the way you're supposed to live. No, let no one take you captive through philosophy. Any other commands in there? There's actually a positive command here. What was that for?
Hearts might be encouraged.
Walk in him. Good. Walk in him. So, walk in him. That's an action command there. Amy Walker was in the evening class, and it was so handy to have her in there because she just supplemented what I taught. But she said what she does with the positive commands. She underlines them in green. So walking to him is a positive. Okay, so that's go. That's a green thing to do, a to-do. And if you had read the whole book of Colossians, you would know later on there's some put-ons and some put-offs. Put-ons are things we want to do. Put-offs are things we want to get rid of. So this other command is more in the negative, so she'd underline that in red. Let no one take you captive. Okay, so we've got a positive command up here, walk in him. That would be a positive. And then we've got a negative command, something not to do. Okay, are we getting this? Is this making sense? Okay. Yes, you can keep going. I just stopped. Yes. Okay, there's more in there, but we are running out of time. So you have a worksheet. On the back of your people worksheet is a worksheet to fill in the warnings. You can summarize them once you get through them. And then this helps you see them all together. And I didn't find any warnings or commands in chapter 1, so I just noted that and said there's a list of Christ attributes. But then, chapter 2, we already had don't let anyone delude you. Walk in him. See to it that no one takes you captive with traditions, worldly principles. And then if we kept going, we'd find a couple more. Let no one act as your judge. Don't let anyone defraud you. And do not submit yourself to man-made religion. Which is really interesting. I think I'll put that up there and we'll finish reading the chapter. It's really like Romans 14. Romans and Colossians are written by the same person. And he's repeating himself in this letter. So once again, it shows us that repetition. Pastor Andy has said from the pulpit several times, the Bible would be a lot thinner if it never repeated itself. But it's thick because we're thick. Okay. So let's, so that you'll want to fill in your summary then. You've got a lot of homework this week. You do. Fill in your summary sheet. So you have those three worksheets. Let's just finish reading out, reading the Word of God here. Finish out chapter 2.
So you want us to do this in Colossians?
Yes. Your homework is to read Colossians, finish out finding the author, finding the recipients, finding Jesus and God in there, finding the warnings. What else did I have to say down there? Okay, there's other key words. I've listed them in your worksheet. Now, the at-a-glance chart. You'll find the at-a-glance, and that's part of your homework. That's what you're going to fill in after you've done all the rest of your homework. I'm not going to show you mine, because you need to put it in your words. If you see mine, you're going to copy mine and put it in there. And I don't want you to do that. There's, you know, as women sometimes we think we have to do it just perfectly. Perfection can be the enemy of creativity. It can also be the enemy of learning. If you think you can't do it unless you do it perfectly, you'll never do it. So what I'm saying is just do it. And come up with as close as you can. The theme at the top of the at-a-glance chart, we've already talked about the main theme of Colossians, and it's a person. Who is it? It's Jesus. Okay, so you can't go wrong. Pull a scripture from Colossians and make that your theme. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Something like that. Find it in the text. Okay, then it's going to ask you to fill in the four chapters, give them each a title. It's going to ask you the author. You ought to know the author by now. It's going to ask you the recipients. It's going to ask you for keywords. I've listed them on your list. So when you've done all your homework, then fill in your at-a-glance chart. Okay. Now, Kim is waving her hand. The segment divisions, they put those in there. If you noticed, no matter what Paul's talking about, he talks about Jesus. So there's not as big as segments in Colossians. When you're in something like Genesis, it's like, here's the section about Abraham. Here's the section about Isaac. Here's the section about Jacob. It's much more clear. Don't worry about the segments. They kind of flow together in Colossians. That's just there as part of the chart. Okay. We are almost out of time, so we're going to... Now I have time to read the rest of this. Thank you for my readers. And do we have any questions? I'm going to have a drawing. I've got an extra set of the new How to Study the Bible. So I'm going to give that away. We're going to give some of the colored pencils away. So we'll have a drawing in a minute. But first, are there any questions? Yes. It's on what I was reading from, the chapter 2, my outline that I read from. It's on the homework, last page. So,
number 3, other keywords to look for.
Other keywords to look for. Yeah, we saw a couple of them. We saw mystery. We saw gospel. Okay. Jennifer? Okay, we're going to do the books first. can be kind of overwhelming the first time, but just do it step by step and be amazed at what pops out of you. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that you gave it to us in the first place. The God of the universe who created everything loved us enough to make sure his words were preserved and given to us so that we can open them, your love letter to us, Lord. And by them, we have life. Lord, we are your daughters. And we want to do what you want us to do. We want to please you in everything that we do. And to be able to do that, we have to know what pleases you. We have to know your word. Lord, we are all busy women. Some of us work. Some of us have little kids. It's hard to carve out time to study your word. But I pray, Lord, that you would enable us to understand, enable us to have the time to see your precious truth and look through it. Lord, this technique might not be for every woman, but I pray that we would have willing spirits, that we would try, Lord. We would try. This is a tried and true way of seeing your word and seeing the leaves on the tree, not just the trunk and the branches, but looking at the individual words, the leaves. And we want to know what's there. Lord, give us eyes to see. See what you have said. And then learn it for ourselves. And then live it. Because all of this is worthless if it doesn't change our behavior. If we still gossip. If we still grumble. If we still complain. If we're lazy, Lord, then we haven't got this. Lord, we want to live holy lives for you that please you. So, Lord, I pray that as we do this study, you'll be with each woman in her devotional time, in her study time, in her conversations with her Bible study buddies from her table, Lord, that we will glorify you in all of that. And we will do the diligent things that need to be done. Lord, it isn't easy, but it is so worth it. So help us, Lord. Help us to see the worth, the eternal worth of what we're doing. Diving into your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.